live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Donegal spokesperson for Border Communities Against Brexit says he doesn't believe the appointment of Julian Smith as Northern Secretary is indicative of Boris Johnson seeking a closer alliance with the DUP. Irish Water has confirmed that plans to build a wastewater treatment plant in Moville are progressing. It follows a protest held earlier today by the community for a clean estuary. Motorists are being warned to be vigilant following reports of a fake patrol car attempting to pull over drivers close to the Donegal-Derry border. And a Donegal deputy believes that we are building a society that serves an economy rather than an economy to serve our society. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with PJ Lynch coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, Australian police are searching for two young Irishmen believed to be originally from Donegal after a crash in which two other young men were seriously injured. The crash happened in the Sydney suburb of Chifley. Niall Colbert reports.
Eyewitnesses said a car travelling at speed crashed into a parked Toyota Hiace van in the early hours of Saturday morning, leaving two men trapped in the car. CCTV footage showed the driver of the car jumping out of the wreckage and surveying the scene before fleeing on foot. One of his passengers also fled on foot a short time later. It took rescue services more than an hour to free the two men from the vehicle. It's understood that at least two of the men involved in the crash are originally from County Donegal. One of the injured men, a 25-year-old, was left unconscious, having suffered serious injuries. He was taken to St. George's Hospital, where he's in a critical but stable condition. The other trapped passenger, a 27-year-old man, was taken to the Royal Prince Alfred Hospital, where he is in a serious but stable condition. New South Wales police say their investigations are continuing as they attempt to identify and locate the driver and the passenger.
Irish Water has confirmed that plans to build a wastewater treatment plant in Moville are progressing. The project is currently in design and pre-planning stage with on-the-ground investigations ongoing. The utilities say mobilisation is underway for geotechnical site investigation works, which will commence this week. Once investigations and detailed design are complete, a planning application will be submitted by the end of this year. It follows a protest held this morning at Carrigarory Pier by the Community for a Clean Estuary. The group spokesperson, Enda Craig, says the concern remains locally that these plans pose serious risks to the environment.
That's fine, Irish Water. They're progressing without any regard for anybody. The unanimous decision by the Donegal County Council way back some years ago, and then again quite recently, the municipal councillors in Buncrana had a unanimous decision. I mean, everybody and his own councillors stated categorically again that this should not go here. They recognise the terrible potential that's going to destroy the area, and they pleaded. In actual fact, they even threatened to take out an injunction against Irish Water and told them, no, go north of Greencastle, where this was all decided to go, and safeguard the beautiful beaches, the shore walk, and the pristine bathing waters that we have here. We might as well be talking to the man on the moon. These guys have a problem. They're under a clock to tick the European box, which means they have to get these things sorted out before they're fined, massive fines in Europe, and they have come back in right around the coast of Ireland. We happen to be one of them, unfortunately. And they are going to do slap-happy solutions to a situation that's guaranteed to give us massive problems.
And this is leaving the fishermen at the cold face of this deeply concerned.
We actually had a little protest which was called very quickly. We had over between 30 and 40 people. One of them is an experienced fisherman, and he took time out to come up and address the people and give them the history, how they were never consulted. Irish Water, they came into the nose of the pier to go over the pier, and then he stated something which is going to be interesting. He says the fishermen have an awful lot of fishing gear already down at that spot. If these guys come down and do what they intend to do, they're going to have to interfere with private fishing gear. And the big question is, have they got permission? We believe they don't have any permission.
It's still not known when the new British Prime Minister will hold a telephone call with the Taoiseach. While the government says official level contact has been made, no talks between Boris Johnson and Leo Varadkar have taken place. Since becoming Prime Minister almost a week ago, Mr Johnson has phoned several EU leaders, but not the Taoiseach. On his first trip to Scotland as UK leader, Boris Johnson has insisted a new Brexit deal can be reached, despite ramping up preparations for a no deal.
My assumption is that we can get a new deal. We're aiming for a new deal. What we want to do is to make it absolutely clear that the backstop is no good. It's dead. It's got to go.
Meanwhile, the Donegal spokesperson for Border Communities Against Brexit says he doesn't believe the appointment of Julian Smith as Northern Secretary is indicative of Boris Johnson seeking a closer alliance with the DUP. The group is stressing the need to preserve the backstop and not flinch in the wake of renewed pressure from London. Mr Smith was one of the chief negotiators of the deal reached between Theresa May and the DUP when she was in power, but Tom Murray says Mr Johnson does not have a record of long-term strategies and commitments when making such appointments.
I think Boris Johnson is somebody who will utilise people as he needs them. And at the current moment in time, he wants to keep the DUP sweet. I think if Boris Johnson didn't need the DUP, then Boris Johnson would forget any deal that he's made with them. I think that's the type of politician he is. I don't think he's a politician who consistently believes in long-term relationships. He's a politician who believes in getting over the here and now. I think he has certainly given some sort of sops to the DUP. I see the DUP have called for more money and more finance to be released in the short term to them for the assembly in the north of Ireland, which isn't working, for them to continue to support him. So I don't know just how strong the relationship is between Boris Johnson and the DUP, because I don't know how strong the relationship is between Boris Johnson and anybody that he doesn't need in the short term.
Motorists are being warned to be vigilant following reports of a fake patrol car attempting to pull over drivers close to the Donegal-Derry border. There have been several sightings of a cream-coloured car with a Cork registration using flashing blue lights and sirens, particularly at night. Gardaí locally have been notified of the issue, with investigations said to be ongoing. Sinead Stewart, who contested this year's local elections, has been made aware of one frightening incident recently in which two women were returning to Donegal from Derry.
Stayed behind her, came over the border with the blue light flashing, and actually she was about to pull into the lay-by there, you know, at Bridgend, and the other person in the car said, no, don't do that. So when she got down to the Texaco there in Bridgend, she pulled in, and the car went on ahead, but it had turned its lights off completely. So she thought, herself and the other person in the car were discussing it and said, look, you know, we better get the registration number of this car and pass it on to the guards. So they did. They went up the road and they sort of travelled up the Burt Road and they got the registration number of the car, and at that, the car pulled in. So they travelled on up the road to find a turning point behind them, and lo and behold, there was the car up their bumper with no lights on at all. So they got a little bit concerned about that, and they pulled into someone's house, into someone's driveway, and they sat there for a few minutes, and the car went away. And as they were pulling out of the driveway, there was another car coming the opposite direction, with the car behind the second car, with the blue lights on, doing the exact same thing. Well, this was an 05 Cork registration, the cream beige coloured car. But had she been on her own, she said she would have pulled in. And I just thought it was something that people need to be aware of. It could be young fellas acting the maggots, so no, it could, but it could be something a lot more sinister.
A bill which aims to resolve a High Court ruling over Ireland's citizenship application policy should be considered by government in mid-September. Earlier this month, the court ruled that no one should be granted citizenship unless they have unbroken residence in Ireland for 1 year before their application. The Irish Naturalisation and Immigration Service says the Cabinet has given the Justice Minister approval to draft a bill to resolve the issue. The service says citizenship ceremonies due to take place at the end of September will still go ahead. A Donegal deputy believes that we are building a society that serves an economy rather than an economy to serve our society. Deputy Pierce Doherty was speaking in the wake of last week's RTÉ Investigates programme on the child care sector. It follows other similar programmes by the broadcaster on nursing homes and with regards to services for people with special needs. Speaking in recent days, Deputy Doherty says the government needs to stand up to take responsibility.
We see it in terms of our healthcare with a private and public system, and we see it in the lack of regulation and enforcement in banking and the insurance sector, where ordinary people are being fleeced. every single day of the week. So not only has the state, in my view, a role to play, it is a responsibility to act. It has a responsibility to provide essential services to the highest of standards and at a fair price. And it must be the role of the state in promoting the development of an economy that it serves everyone and all, to take a side and to take a stand on what is right and what is good. These are the values that I believe that we all need to abide by. Stepping up and providing where there are failings, rectifying wrongs where they've been made, and taking charge where the state has abdicated its responsibility. In my view, that is the big challenge that we face, particularly when the economy is doing better.
Urgent clarity is being sought following reports that cross-border workers are missing out on tax benefits as a result of the universal credit system being introduced by the British government. Workers are now being asked to provide a postcode of residence within the jurisdiction of the United Kingdom to avail of tax credits. However, workers from Donegal can't provide such information and have found themselves being denied these financial supports. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin has written to both the British and Irish governments demanding a resolution.
Well, this is a real problem that's been brought to my attention in recent weeks with the introduction of the universal credit system. The British governments are now requesting from workers to prove evidence of residence in the jurisdiction of the United Kingdom. So obviously, if you're a worker from Donegal working in Derry City or West Tyrone, you can't do that. So you're losing out on family income supplements, potentially in the Republic of Ireland, and you're losing out on tax credits that every other worker gets in the North at this moment in time. So we're seeking urgent clarification and a resolution to this as soon as possible.
Obviously, because it would affect, I'm sure, an awful lot of people, not just in Donegal, but in all other different border counties who are travelling to the North for work.
Oh, indeed. And what's been happening is that this new universal credit system has been rolled out incrementally, and workers are discovering as time moves on that they are impacted on this. And we're talking here about a very serious financial hit to the families that I have spoken to. And it's absolutely vital that if this is a misunderstanding, that this is sorted out as soon as possible. But we need to make it very, very clear. We cannot have a situation where there's discrimination against workers from Donegal who would be denied the same tax credits as every other worker in the North when they're paying their taxes and their pension entitlements in there. So it needs to be sorted out. At the moment, it's very serious, but hopefully we'll get a resolution.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with a great selection of adults and children's Donegal GAA jerseys. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five and time's the latest in sport with PJ Lynch.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with athletics, and it was a fantastic weekend for Donegal athletes at the National Senior Track and Field Championships in Santry. Seven medals coming back from the senior games for the Donegal contingent. Highlands athletics correspondent Patsy McGonigal has the details.
Yes, indeed. One of the better weekends in recent times, and a gold and six silver was the overall total. Mark English, of course, a gold medal performance, a seventh title, and a selection for the European Cup in a couple of weeks' time in Norway. Then the silver medals, Gareth Crawford from the Lifford-Strabane Club, a Donegal record in the javelin. We had Kelly McGrory, and yet another Donegal record at 60.44 in the 400-metre hurdles. And then we had four Finn Valley athletes, Molly Gribben in the long jump. We had John Kelly in the shot. We had Brenton Boyce in the walk, and Summer Leckie in the high jump. And just not that, but many, many, many other finalists on what was one of the better performances of recent times. So we've got to be very, very encouraged by the overall performance of Donegal athletes.
Patsy McGonigal there. In Gaelic games, Rory Gallagher has stepped down as Fermanagh senior football manager. The former Donegal manager has been in charge there for the past 2 years. Gallagher led Fermanagh to promotion to Division 2 of the Allianz Football League last year, missing out on a Division 2 final place this year by virtue of a final day defeat to Meath. Fermanagh lost to Donegal in the Ulster Championship this year before a first round qualifier loss to Monaghan. In soccer, Derry City look to get back to winning ways tonight when they host Waterford at the Brandywell. The last time the sides met, they drew a 2-2 at the RSC, and Derry won the game at the Brandywell early in the season by 3-2. It's a 7:45 p.m. kickoff this evening, and Derry boss Declan Devine says that they have plenty of players in their squad who can step up after Junior went off injured last week.
We've players sitting that didn't start the game the other night, like Barry McNamee, like Michael McCrudden, who's going to be a brilliant player here, Owen Stokes, Connor Davis, Eddie Delap. We've players here that are ready to come on and play. We've got versatility in our group. We are at the stage now where some people may need rested and have played a lot of minutes, but ultimately it's all about Waterford, and if we can get to the levels that we're capable of getting at, then it should make for a good game.
And you can hear more from Declan Devine in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Dundalk have been dealt a blow ahead of Wednesday's Champions League qualifier, second leg away to Karabeg. Robbie Benson has been ruled out of the trip to Azerbaijan due to a rib injury sustained in last week's first leg at Oriel Park. The sides are level at 1-1 after last week's game. The English Football League has warned Bolton and Bury that could find their opening fixtures suspended over ongoing financial issues. The EFL said that while some progress has been made with regard to proving they can meet their outstanding commitments, concerns do remain about both League One clubs. They were given a deadline of 5 o'clock this afternoon to comply with a request to submit evidence, having already been hit with 12-point penalties. Celtic have brought in an exciting defensive prospect ahead of the start of the Scottish Premiership season. 16-year-old left-sided centre-back Leo Hilder has signed a 3-year contract with the champions from Norwegian club Rosenborg, subject to international approval. West Ham defender Arthur Masuaku has signed a new contract extension with the Premier League club until summer 2024. The agreement also includes an option for the Democratic Republic of Congo International's deal to be extended by a further 2 years. Masuaku, who arrived from Greek side Olympiakos in 2016, has made 75 appearances across 3 seasons. In Formula One, it's been revealed that Lewis Hamilton told Mercedes to retire him from the German F1 Grand Prix. After running off the road for a second time at Hockenheim, the world championship leader was 13th and set to drop to last ahead of a 6th pit stop when he made the call with 11 laps to go. Mercedes instructed him to continue, and he was eventually promoted 2 places after finishing 11th. In racing, the 150th Galway Racing Festival gets underway this evening. The feature of the night is the Connacht Hotel Handicap at 7:40. Willie Mullins trains the favourite, Mr. Adjudicator, as he looks for a 3rd consecutive win in the race. The going is good to yielding on the flat track, and the first race of the festival gets underway in around a minute or so. Rathmullen jockeys Connor and Oisín Orr are in action in Galway this evening as well. And finally, a public information meeting on this year's Errigal International Youth Tour takes place tonight in Wilkins Bar, Church Hill at 8:30. Everyone is welcome to attend that meeting, and you can hear all about this year's big cycling event if you head to the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. That's all your sports news here on Highland this evening. Your next sports update is after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning, but for now, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, PJ. And returning to some news. Gardaí hope the jailing of 6 men linked to the Kenhane crime gang will discourage others from getting involved in organised crime. 5 of those were sentenced at the non-jury special criminal court earlier for their roles in plotting to kill 2 people closely linked with the Hutch family. The Garda National Drugs and Organised Crime Bureau says since 2015, they've made 651 arrests and seized nearly €160 million in illicit drugs and over 100 firearms. Assistant Garda Commissioner John O'Driscoll hopes today's sentencing sends a message to crime gang members.
We hope to discourage others from getting involved in organised crime. We hope to discourage those who continue to be involved with organised crime groups that currently exist from continuing their activity. And we can give an assurance we will continue to be unrelenting in our pursuit of those who decide to engage in organised crime.
571 new dwellings in Donegal were added to the GeoDirectory database in the 12 months to June 2019, according to its latest report. The report shows that 264 buildings were under construction in Donegal in June 2019. Emma Rose Callaghan has an overview of some of the findings.
There were 1,368 residential property transactions in Donegal in the 12 months to April 2019, with an average price of €122,953. 12.2% of these were for new properties. Letterkenny is the town with the highest average property price in the county. The county with the lowest average property price was Longford at €115,330, followed by neighbouring counties Leitrim and Donegal. The vacancy rate in Donegal in June for this year stood at 10.4%, higher than the national average of 4.8%. Counties in the northwest of the country recorded the highest vacancy rates, with Donegal featuring in the top five. The report also found that there were 111 derelict buildings in urban areas in Donegal.
Donegal County Council says there will be a full public display of the final routes once decisions are taken on the TEN-T roads network later this year. Responding to questions from Councillor Donal Coyle, senior engineer said there won't be any more public consultations, but members will be briefed and plans will be published. Councillor Coyle is welcoming the commitment, but says his focus remains on securing the Bunnaghy Link, a new bridge over the Swilly.
There would be a public display of a final preferred route, and I was happy enough with that reply because that was the question asked. But can I say that I had a motion submitted to the council in regards to the TEN-T and in particular with regard to the Bunnaghy Link and the bridge across the Swilly, but that has been now deferred because of the meeting being adjourned. That motion will be coming up at the September meeting, and I will be looking for the councillors to support me on that motion.
There's little doubt that you will get the full support of council on the Bunnaghy Link. I think there isn't anyone in Lifford, officials or members, who aren't 100% behind it. The question with the Bunnaghy Link, of course, the long-term problem is always going to be money. And is that money going to become available?
That is the big question. But there has to be a concerted effort by Donegal County Council to seek an urgent meeting with the Minister for Transport in relation to providing the money for the Bunnaghy Link and the bridge.
The details of a new €100 million funding package for beef farmers have been announced. The beef exceptional aid measure will provide financial aid to Irish beef farmers, but it comes with terms and conditions. Farmers eligible for the scheme will be able to claim €100 per animal if they meet the criteria set down. Donegal Deputy and Fianna Fáil Agriculture spokesperson Charlie McConlogue has been expressing some reservations about the fund.
I think the production reduction of 5% is misguided, Minister Creed. It will affect prices in the future, and it was entirely unnecessary. I think he should remove that clause, but in the absence of that, at a minimum, he should bring in exemptions for example, for solar farms of under 20 cows, which are smaller and will find it harder to meet reduction thresholds. Overall, if he doesn't do that, I do think it will affect uptake.
And billboards and ads for e-cigarettes on public transport should be banned, according to the Irish Cancer Society. The Health Minister has revealed plans to clamp down on the sale of tobacco and vapes. Cigarette vending machines are to be banned, as well as the sale of e-cigarettes to under 18s. The Irish Cancer Society says the reforms are a good first step, but don't go far enough. The organisation's Paul Gordon says flavoured e-cigarettes should be pulled from shelves.
One of the most attractive things for children and for teenagers when they're using e-cigarettes for the first time is the flavouring. So many children that wouldn't otherwise be interested in smoking are attracted through the fruity kind of flavouring, the sweet kind of sickly smell that you would get from e-cigarettes. And that's something that has really attributed to a huge increase in e-cigarette use and nicotine addiction among young people.
Weather now dry in most areas this evening with sunny spells and a few showers. It will be mostly cloudy tonight with some outbreaks of showery rain. Lows of 12 to 13 degrees and light to moderate, mainly northerly breezes. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Australian police are searching for two young Irish men believed to be originally from Donegal after a crash in which two other young men were seriously injured. Irish Water has confirmed that plans to build a wastewater treatment plant in Moville are progressing. The project is currently in design and pre-planning stage with on-the-ground investigations ongoing. It follows a protest held this morning at Carrigarory Pier by the Community for a Clean Estuary. The Donegal spokesperson for Border Communities Against Brexit says he doesn't believe the appointment of Julian Smith as Northern Secretary is indicative of Boris Johnson seeking a closer alliance with the DUP. The group is stressing the need to preserve the backstop and not flinch in the wake of renewed pressure from London. And motorists are being warned to be vigilant following reports of a fake patrol car attempting to pull over drivers close to the Donegal-Derry border. There have been several sightings of a cream-coloured car with a Cork registration using flashing blue lights and sirens, particularly at night. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Monday evening, July the 29th. The death has taken place of Emily Davis, Glenalla, Milford. Remains are reposing at her home. Funeral service in her home on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Bank Cemetery, Remelton. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Pieta House, Kev Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Jacqueline McCloskey, née Porter, 177 Woodbrook, Derry. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 9:30 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Pennyburn. Interment afterwards in St Angus's Cemetery, Birch. The death has taken place of Frances McCready, 12 Mill Park, Carrigans. Remains are reposing at her residence. Funeral leaving her residence tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for service in Clay Parish Church at Carrigans. Burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. Family time from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Gibson Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Sean Tinney, Ardna Glass, Ballandrate, Lifford. Remains are reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Columba's Church, Dunleyloop at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Nellie Gormley, née McNamee, Mahara Boy, Rafo, and formerly of Port Hall and Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her late residence at Mahara Boy. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 9:30, going to St Mary's Church, Coghill, Buncrana, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Larissa Lodge Residence Comfort Fund, Letterkenny, care of any family member or Kelly's Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of John Christie, 53 Donabow Road, Donamana. Remains are reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Killeany at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has taken place of Elizabeth Jane Key, known as Lizzie, née Torrens, Cora Dewey, Convoy. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral leaving there tomorrow afternoon at 1:15 for funeral service in Dunamore Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Dunamore Presbyterian Church, care of any family member or Terence McClintock Funeral Director. Actors.